Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. Today, we are going to be trying to solve a mobile cash PT's problem, Brian.
Yeah.
So let's set it up a little bit for the listener and then you can kind of dive in. Cause I've been chatting with you a little bit about it, but this is kind of my full kind of numbers breakdown. So, great gym in my neighborhood. I have been working out there for about a year and a half. Business owner is savvy, right? He is not one where you're worried, is this place going to stay open soon? He's also not, oh God, what should I say? A little bit too much hormozified, where he is like, everything must be, you're paying for my time. So it's $3,000 for this tiny room. Like it's a legitimate, you know, business where he's kind of, you know, in real life, dealing in real life with terms of pricing. And we're going to tour his facility today, where I might decide to take my fully mobile practice and bring it at least partially into a gym. So a lot of PT owners face this. And Brian, just off the top, what are some things that you would say, man, I'd really want to, I already gave you a few things that I thought were highlights. What would you really want to look for when you're thinking renting, either subleasing or, you know, structuring like a pay per client or something?
So I think the biggest thing that I would say initially, and this is, we've talked about this on this podcast regularly, which is for most mobile PT practices, they struggle to scale. Right. And again, you know, let me go through some real quick reasons. And if anybody knows this, the nice thing about podcasts is I can ramble on for hours and Owen can't stop me. No, I'm kidding. We all got stuff to do. But I'm going to follow me through this logic. I remember when I was in the mobile PT world and like was thinking about, well, should I hire another person to kind of work with me? And I know, Owen, you know, people who do that. One of the things that I think that people don't think about in that world is like the liability stuff. Like, for instance, I got bit by dogs. I don't know if you've gotten bit by a dog yet, Owen, but I remember thinking like I got bit by like a bunch of dogs doing it. And it was fine when it was just me. But like, say you have employees and they get bit by dogs and someone hurts, like there's workers' comp claims, right? Like it's, you know, you do not control the space. So I'm not a huge fan of the idea of expanding a mobile clinic. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying that home care agencies aren't gigantic and can do it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it comes to like smaller practices like Owen's, I just wouldn't recommend that being the process. Because I know what Owen's vision is for the clinic, and I think that's important too. If you want to start a mobile concierge thing, like you just got to think about that. Like, for instance, people are driving, like what if they hit somebody? What if you get them a car and they hit somebody? What if, you know, I've heard some horrible stories in the insurance world, because, you know, while you might not get sued and lose in those scenarios, it jumps premiums and that sinks businesses. So people got to think about that kind of stuff.
And so, let's, for context, give that if somebody hasn't listened to previous episodes where I've talked about it, I do eventually want to have a location that is very much like a golf performance sort of institute, like an area where trainers and PTs and golf instructors can all kind of have that team approach under one roof.
Yeah.
So that's important if people listen to what Brian's saying.
For sure. So I think also understanding of Owen knows where he wants to go, wants to know where he wants to be. So that's the big piece. So to me, just in that capacity, I know he wants to go into a gym. This isn't me saying you have to do it from a business perspective. It's just where Owen wants to go, right? Good old fashioned, like that's part of the goal. So from approaching that perspective, the first thing we look at when we're trying to find these places is the area, right? Where we're going, where we believe our services can be, you know, done. Because you have to also consider, when we're all talking about this, is the transition. So not only the transition from doing more mobile stuff and bring it into an office, but also the transition as you grow. So there's two sides of this. So like, the aspect is there's going to be some uncomfortableness at some point. It's just a matter of where you want it and how far you want to kick it down the road. Right. So if you go smaller on a lease up front with smaller space, the uncomfortableness is going to be on the back end when you outgrow the space. Right. And that's why a lot of people move out of gyms at some point. Right. On the flip side, say you're like, I want this big space that I'm not ready for. The uncomfortableness is going to be up front, where you're spending a lot more money on that space right now.
Yeah.
Owen also has the ability, like we have clinics in Beverly Hills and Greenwich, Connecticut, some of the richest places in the planet. The rents are dumb for how much space they are. So you just got to also think about what the model and the vision of what that is and what it's going to look like. Right.
Yeah. And so to set this up, This is in very adjacent to a very high net worth area, right? Something that it's not all golfers in the country go to, but in those spaces, actually, they're a dime a dozen when it comes to like personal training for golfers. A lot of cash-based PTs are in this one like air park because it's industrial, so like you can have size of space without the cost of like a retail space. Whereas where I'm looking at the household income is pretty good, but there's very few cash locations, right? So just again for a picture, but it's not right in the heart of the busiest, richest part of that neighborhood. It's a little bit outside, but far enough that people will drive to it
Yeah,
or close enough that
and
people
one
drive.
thing to think about too, if, again for context, Owen and I have talked about eventually transitioning a lot of the practice what he's talked about into an insurance model and accepting some insurance, right? So from that perspective, that also matters a little bit in this capacity, like the transition. I think you can roll that out over time, right? It gets easier as you go, by the way, for those listening. Like people are just like, well, how do I, all of a sudden go from taking $175 an hour to whatever reimbursement rates are. Well, there's ways to
90 in
do it.
Arizona,
Right. There's ways to mitigate that pain point, right? So, obviously, you want to have that transition plan is also planned out. But the biggest thing, if you're going to take insurance, is I don't think it makes sense for any small business to not do it on an outpatient basis. It's very difficult to do if you're going to go in the home on the home care circuit. So, nevertheless, just things to think about. So, I don't know how much you want to go into the specifics on the space, but
No,
because we.
let's break it
Let's
down.
go.
So
Okay,
the
cool.
gym is sweet, right? It is I call it a millennial's wet dream. It's very cool looking, like very, and the owner has really kind of, it was through COVID, he got a great deal on the space, and he basically said he's an athletic trainer, so he does do a lot of recovery stuff himself. And that's one of the questions I'll have for him is like, how much are you going to take versus give to me? But it's a really good gym, really great space, great equipment, all the stuff that I would need to be able to be like an actual, hey, I'm a sports clinic versus just saying I've seen athletes before. And then basically the room would be mine, right? So a private treatment room, and then obviously, most of the time people would do treatment on the floor. And there are tables there that I could use.
Cool. So a couple of things to think about, right? When negotiating a lease like this, you want to have some type of language, if possible, with ex I shouldn't even say if possible, but you should have it in there. Exclusivity, right? If I come in and rent this space, like there should be at least at a minimum a gentleman's agreement, like a physical therapist can't come in here and do stuff. Great example. We sublet space in Bobby V Sports Academy. We have a great relationship. It's sort of written in our contract, but someone said, "Hey, this other physical therapy group from a little farther away wants to do an arm care program in here." I was like, "Absolutely not. That's what I do. We do arm care programs in here." So, like that, and then they said, "Yep, no problem. Cool. We'll turn them away." Like that type of stuff. That's awesome, right? So, if you're in a gym, you want to create that like right of first refusal is the legal word. So it's like you just have to come to me and talk to me about it. That's a way to get around it. Like, well, what if I bring this in and blah blah and that. But like, so no problem. Just give me the right of first refusal. Like, if I want certain people, like you don't want to bring a chiro in here if it's a physical therapist, right? Like, I just want to make sure that I'm protected. I'm going to pay you money, and I want to grow with you. Blah blah blah. So that's the one. Two, obviously, if it's better in general, I think for most people, if you can have a flat rate for space that you can afford that might be a touch uncomfortable in the beginning, just because it will incentivize, particularly a situation like Owen's, where you want to move more people into the gym. What it does is it allows you to justify, hey, I'm going to increase the rates on all those people outside. Because one of the things that Owen told me, and we haven't talked about it yet, is, well, I've kind of pushed people away from the gym because I got to spend money on the per patient model in the gym. But therefore, then I'm going to people's homes and I'm charging them more money and pocketing more money.
So
Yeah, but there's,
let's break that out a little bit. So
yes.
essentially, I already have an agreement with another gym owner, and it's what we call a revenue split. So it's 80-20, right? That's kind of middle of the road, probably not the greatest negotiation on my part, but whatever. The reason I had it is because I needed an objection overcome. When I first started, it was very bootstrapped. I needed to make sure that any call I got, I converted. And I used it essentially as a way if anybody says, I have an apartment so I don't want you coming here, or I don't want to worry about putting my dog somewhere. Or if I had athletes where it's like, I squat 350. What are you going to do for me in my living room type of thing? So it worked, right? There's definitely five or six clients that I never would have had otherwise, but it's not a space that I would want to say, this is my location. Let's show everybody what it is. Great gym owner, but it's tight, it's cramped, there's no kind of personal spot.
And in theory, 80-20 split's actually not bad, right? To give you an idea, in the personal training world, the rev split's usually somewhere between 27 and 33%. So at 20%, like, Owen's doing fine there. However, the issue becomes that, 20% as you raise your rates becomes higher. So the idea behind that is eventually you want to have more of a flat rate. That's the idea to break that down. Because, like, say Owen's charging $175, he's getting 20%. Well, that means that he's paying the guy $35 a session, which, like, isn't bad. But now say he raises rates to 200, or he sees more patients in there. There's a certain value to the space too that you'll be able to break out. So
Well,
in this case, I think go ahead.
let's talk about that too. So this guy is basically saying about $1,000 for the room per month and full use of the gym. I think that's a pretty good deal, right? Especially in the neighborhood, it's not bad, right? I've seen other people in kind of in between neighborhoods in Scottsdale, and it's a tiny little thing, and they're like, oh yeah, like $3,000. So it's one guy tried to sell me his closet. I was like, dude, come on. So $1,000. Now, currently I'm seeing about six or seven visits in the gym, giving away 20%, right? So that is, I'm essentially giving him $200 to earn 1,000, right? So I get 800 net, right? So my thought is, if I get six visits in the gym under this $1,000, right, in this new gym, six visits would cover my rent payment, right? So just immediately those patients shoving over will cover that rent payment, right? And then my thought, and again, this is where I wanted your advice. What's the return on capital, I guess, should I want? Should I go for like a 1 to 3 where it's like, okay, I pay $1,000. Really, I should be getting, what is six is 1,000. So like, say I should get 18 visits from this gym per month for it to be worth me paying $1,000 every month. Or is it more like a, 2 to 1 split where it's like, yeah, but you also get the benefits of all these other things that you can now offer. And obviously social media is going to be better when I have a squat rack next to me versus me in my living room, So what are some of the things that go into your, like, how do I make this a good investment or at least a reasonable one? Like you said, man, I'm a little uncomfortable. Look at my vision, but like, what makes it still something where it's like, okay, that price is too high for you right now?
And I'll do some quick math on it as
Let's
far
just say
as
200, by the way. Like, make it easy for you for my
well I
rates. Let's
like
just
well
say
no no I
200.
like I like the way that Owen did that exchange. Does that make sense? The way you did that exchange was and again, you have to you can't look at this in a vacuum, meaning like, all right, next month this is what it's going to be. It's got to be also with growth, right? A lot of these leases are 3, 5, 10 year long leases. It's not like rent, like leasing out your an apartment or a house or something like that, but it's only year to year. This is something where it's a long term lease. So what I'm getting at with that is usually the longer term of the lease, you can drive down the price a little more. By the way, we won't even get into any of this, but what Owen is doing here is subletting space. So there's a little bit of a difference in general. Like, some owners want you to put down some security deposits. I think that's bullshit. I don't think part of a sublet, like, I should have to put down a security deposit because I'm not getting any free rent or TIs. So, like, in theory, what TIs are is like tenant, I'm trying to blank it on the exact
Tenant
words.
improvement.
Tenant improvement, thank you. So essentially, they're going to give you cash to do your space the way you want it to because you're upgrading their space. So, like, if a landlord's not giving you money for that, not giving you free rent, like, they're fucking you. That's really the reality of it. Like, and don't if someone says, no, sorry, I don't have to do that to rent out that space, but, like, got it, I don't want the space then. Like, you don't want to do business with that landlord. You know what I mean?
You
So
took
that's
my
the
meeting.
thing.
You need something.
Exactly. So the idea basically is what you want to do is you want to put yourself in a position for success, so that you can have the conversations around what exactly we're talking about, right? So for $1,000 a month, Owen already talked about how basically he's like, I'm already going to take $200 away and put it in this guy's pocket. So now really it's renting for $800 a month. So when you think about $800 a month, how many patients do I need to see to make up that $800 a month? That's how I would look at it. And so in essence, if I get At $175 a session, if I get five sessions, I'm basically breaking even. So what I would say to Owen is, do you think consistently, just by starting pretty much game on, that you're going to get five new patients, or not even five new patients, five more visits on a location because you're going to be able to centralize them? And you don't even need to get them from the gym. It's just, hey, now I can fit, 10 more patients a week on my schedule. And the answer for every location, this is how it works. Yeah, it's going to be that way. So again, that's how I'm more evaluated, is like I look at the space and I'm like, all
I
right,
didn't think about
cool.
that.
If I have two or three therapists in here, if I have blah, 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 like, is that going to make it work? If I move my current stuff over here, how much more do I need to do to make up that difference? Right. And that's the big thing. So when I'm looking at locations, that's how I'm looking at the rents and vice versa. Because what's different is rents can stack up very, very quickly because they're a fixed cost. And the bigger thing is you're like signing a lease. So therefore, you are on the hook legally, right? Like some landlords will let you out of stuff, but now if you've put money into a space, blah, blah, like this starts getting into big boy stuff. So the reality of it is this is a very nice, safe sublet agreement that you're looking at. And so I would, if you get a room in your individual space for $1,000 plus you get room on the floor, that's awesome. Like that's a good deal. And what I would do is say, hey, like I'm gonna be here, but I want like yeah, like some rent for, like the big thing I was asked for is I think the price is fair. I think it's great. What I'd like to do is grow here with you. I'd like the right of first refusal. I want to make sure that we like you don't bring in a physiotherapist or chiro on top of me. Because just by osmosis, I was telling Owen, I was like, 30% of your business will come from the gym just by you being there more. It's that simple, right? Even if they're not sending you people, obviously they're sending you people, it's amazing. But in general, that's what I see occur is about 30%. So again, if Owen's seeing 20 patients a week, that means six or a week are going to come from this location. So if he's filling up 33% of his location, it's paying for itself and you're making money off it. So that's how you got to look at it. It's almost like the IRS, like, the first 4 months of the year, we all work for the government. And then it's how much can we do in the last 8 months? Like, that's kind of the same concept. I look at it that way.
And that's important. I think that first thing you said was, okay, but look at the available schedule space. I didn't even think about that, which is crazy because in insurance
Yes.
base, that's literally all you're
It's
doing is schedule
opportunity
math.
cost. Opportunity cost is the key.
And that's where it's like, okay, these six are coming, six visits are coming to the gym regardless. If I just tell them a block away, they don't care, right? They were somebody who came because of me, not because of the gym. But then if I say, well, okay, I have seven other patients that live not too far away, right? And then I offer, okay, discount if you come to the gym for the first few months, or I raise my in-home prices so that, the gym prices look better. So that's something I didn't even think about in terms of like doing the math. And then the second thing is because you've done the gym practice in a gym thing. That's your entire business is having a
Now
practice in a gym,
we
right?
just own the gyms. Exactly.
Now you just
Exactly.
own them. So the problem that I foresee somewhat is this guy does booming music, full gym used classes at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, which is good because he has a personal training business too. So he wants 8 to 5 to be pretty clear. But what he's doing is he's gotten popular. So now he has a 9:30 class, right? And then he also is now doing youth classes at 3:30, right? So my question then becomes, how annoying is it to have bumping like rap music and not even rap, like just millennial stuff, right? How annoying is that? How do you work around that? How do you have that conversation? Because again, that's his business, right?
I'll give you a great example of how you look at this problem, right? And by the way, the bigger issue becomes when you scale, because now your employees have to be on board with this too. But I'll explain. So I think the big thing to keep coming back to is what's the vision of what your clinic is? What's the vision of what your place is, right? Because to me, in that scenario, totally get it. And yes, it's a complaint. We have a location in Greenwich in a gym. It's a CrossFit gym. It's just like the same exact problem that Owen's talking about. And they have classes 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8:30, 9:30, 12:30. Like they have all youth athletes all the time. So here's a story I'll tell you. Our target is active adults, kids, athletes, that kind of thing. That's our target market. So the reality of a situation, and I'll share the story because I think it resonates with a lot of people. I know you and I have talked about this with patients like that are recommend or PTs that are, looking for, patients who have Parkinson's, things like that, but they have baseball players. So I work with a company. It's a shout out to my guys, Drew. They have this really cool company called Ardac. It's a Navy SEAL prep company. It's a nonprofit. They basically help get kids prepared for buds. So if you give an idea of like buds, these are guys that are interested in going into the military and becoming Navy SEALs. And essentially what ends up happening is at buds, it's at about a 25% success rate, right, for people actually passing. However, if you go through this program, ARDAC, you've got a 75% chance based off of their performance and statistics of getting through buds. So
Pretty
they
good.
get you prepared, right? That's
How
the
are they
whole.
not? How are they not being bought up by the military already?
Well, they are. Like the answer
I
is
was
they
gonna
are. The
say,
answer
like,
is they're
I would
not.
assume they would want
It's not. It's a
that.
nonprofit. It's run by a bunch of ex-Navy SEALs. They know all the cool guys like Jocko and Leif Babin and blah blah. They have all these cool guys. So they have all these cool connections. He's connected to all of this really fun group, and it's right here. And they do it in the Greenwich Y, which is really funny. It's like to
That's
see it
awesome.
being done. And
The
so,
least Navy SEAL place in the entire country.
it's hysterical. It's hysterical. And I love it. And I love the guy who runs it. The guys who run it. I've had guys who run it that have become members for our gym. Blah blah. And obviously, those are a population that fits right with our vision and what we do. I go and visit them quarterly. They always have new people coming in because they got guys going out to Coronado that then go through. And I have plenty of guys that are now active Navy SEALs that I've worked with before they even went out to buds. So it's been a really fun relationship for me over the years, and I've really enjoyed it. And they've sent me a lot of business. In fact, they just sent me. This is how it works. I literally go and I give a talk and just talk for 10, 15 minutes, show up, kind of hang out. Bam, got two referrals. So like it works. It's a great relationship. Now, the cool part about that company and that group is they're right in that niche. And so I'm going to tell you the story. When the business was just starting to build and take off, and I remember getting frustrated about exactly what you just talked about, that process. So I had a conversation with a guy from Ardac. Guy went to Cal, played rugby, Division One, now was going into the Navy's in the Navy now, was going to become Navy SEAL, was going to go through the buds, right? So the person that I was on the phone with before he showed up for his appointment was a woman that I was trying this thing where we were starting a program where I would basically go to people's homes with Evolution, go and treat them for like two or three sessions through their insurance, and then we would try and funnel them into our clinics, right? That's what we were trying to do. And we were trying to see if that would work as a really good model because then I could be a referral source into our clinics, right? And we did this a few times. So the people who need that are people who have like total knee replacements and hip replacements. And there's one woman in particular, I remember her because she was Colombian. I really liked her. We hit it off. She was watching soccer. Obviously, I do soccer. We were talking about the Colombian soccer team, blah, blah, blah. I helped her get like an ice machine. I remember all the different steps of like home care because, this like we have experience in doing this. So I did it. And then I referred her to my clinic. And she came to one of our clinics that was in a gym, just like we were talking about. And she came one of the times the classes were bumping, blah, blah, whatever. So I get on the phone with her. And I talked to her and I was like, hey, I noticed you canceled all your appointments. I go, what's going on? And she was like, well, Brian, like, I really like you and I really like everything you're doing, but I just don't like the facility. Like, I'm not into like the music bumping, the people, like, it's a gym. I need like more of like a medical facility, like a physical therapy. That's what's good for me. So I went to like a new place. And I remember hanging up the phone and being really disappointed. I was like, God, I really like this person, like, blah, blah, like that. That sucks. Like that happened. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe I should have at least one facility that's not looking like that. And again, full transparency, all of our places look like this. Like they're like a gym, even though we have a class going on right now, by the way, literally while you and I are podcasting. So like, and I'm in an office, right? And then literally as I'm thinking this, I hung up the phone. This guy from Cal walks up. He looks like fucking Captain America. He's like gigantic, jacked. And he just knocks on the door, and goes, "You, Brian?" He's like, "For Evolution?" I was like, "Yep." He goes, "This place is fucking awesome." And literally like came in. I was like, oh, fuck that woman. Like, this is awesome. It was something from destiny that came in. And the reason I tell that story is it just puts it so perfectly is like that woman. And by the way, after that interaction, I shut down that whole home care thing. I was like, you know what? This too shall pass. What ends up happening to people listening to this, PT in any capacity, entrepreneur, someone trying to start a program within somebody, something like that. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be times where like you're trying to build something. But if you stay true to that niche and really build in that niche, like you're working on golfers, active young golfers are not really going to care. And you have a room you can retreat to. If you and I have to have a conversation, we can retreat to this room. We'll be okay. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's like, If you're only open on the floor, it's a little trickier, but you can navigate it. You can definitely navigate it, particularly where you are when you're business. I think it's hard to scale gigantically, but I say that, and literally, I got five physical therapists in this clinic I'm sitting in right now doing a podcast with you in an office while there's a class going on that we're controlling, and there's music going. So it's like one of those things where it's a little bit of a mindset adjustment. However, it leads to really good clients for physical therapy. That's the
Well, and
best way to describe it.
that's why I'm like always open to these. I mean, I probably have had like 10 gym owners say like, "Yo, do you want to sublease space?" 'Cause obviously they have to do nothing and they weren't doing anything with the room anyway. So now what? But I've always kind of said, "Okay, I know I eventually need to do this. I also know that to rent my own facility, I'd probably have to have at least like 2 or 3 more years of home care." Right, to have the enough cash to be able to do this, because we always joke about like you probably take home less than I do, right? But like most of my competitors are in the same boat as me. If it's not, I don't have student loans, they do. I have 2 kids in preschool, they don't. But like whatever, it's there's a certain amount. None of us are driving Maseratis, right? And I'm looking at it, I'm saying this is going to be a great middle step, and it's a middle step that could be a final step. This guy's a good business owner. Who knows? Maybe he wants to come into another gym and be like a coach that I open, right? And then it becomes, oh, okay. Or it could just be, yeah, this is a great 3 year, 4 year, whatever it is. And then we kind of both know, okay, I'm gonna leave and open my own thing, but I'm gonna be a physical therapy clinic, not his gym, right? So it won't be direct competition. Maybe he'll lose a few golfers to my golf fitness program, but not that, you know?
I think in general, when you think of these processes, right, like this is the only issue with subletting, right? Is that subletting in general, like I'll give you a great example. There's another gym that I think is really cool in Norwalk. There's a lot of old members. It's got some personal connection for me in terms of like some old members of the gym that I used to work out at and be involved in, blah, blah, blah. And like I met with the owner, nice guy. He's a di it's a different ownership because the other one got crushed during COVID, and he was like, yeah, eventually I want to put rehab in here and blah blah. And I was like, I would never want to have a rehab clinic in here, not in this particular location. And a lot of it is like the location's kind of bizarre, because it's like a warehouse. It's designed for a gym. It's like a warehouse space. The parking's kind of right? Like from an ADA perspective, it doesn't control. Like there's just
This parking is
now. Yeah. Well, and
fantastic.
here's what I would say to people, right? Here's what I would say to people. It also depends on your vision for your clinic. Again, coming back to that ground. In this scenario, like, oh, and it might work for you perfectly if you're like, I want to work with CrossFit athletes. That's what I want to do in my business for cash pay. That will work. However, somebody who wants to work with dancers or work with older folks in a CrossFit gym, like you're just forcing something you don't want to do. Like I met a I had a we had a we had somebody that I met. She was doing cash-based physical therapy in a CrossFit gym, and she stopped doing CrossFit. She's like, I don't really like CrossFit. I'm like, then what the fuck are you doing cash-based PT in here for?
Well,
Like,
and
you're
that's
not.
why I like this is a they he calls it an athletic club. And I'm like, this is
Strange.
essentially like CrossFit, but not with the Olympic stuff. And he's like, dude, I'm an athletic trainer. I saw so many people injured.
For
And
sure.
he's like, I don't want to marry myself to one workout. He's like, I've seen a bunch of them come and go. And I was like, that is smart. That is absolutely what you want to do.
But more so, it's not like I don't even want to say that CrossFit isn't smart, right? Like we do high rock stuff, we don't do CrossFit. I would agree with that athletic trainer. It's not even smart or dumb. There's nothing about that. Like I don't want to say that guy in Norwalk is dumb. It's not.
Oh,
What
no. I'm
he
just
is
saying,
just
just
no,
it's
exactly.
hard to marry yourself to one thing.
Yeah, well, it's more vision oriented. This is we are getting we are going to become roommates. So because we're going to become roommates in that sublease, we want to just be aligned similarly. And then this is what I'm looking for in a sublease. For instance, one of our awesome locations in Stanford is in Bobby V Sports Academy. It's a 40,000 square foot baseball, soccer, huge ass cool turf facility. Tremendous, tremendous relationship. They refer us all sorts of people. We refer back to them. Like it's great. That's a relationship that aligns with us very well. It doesn't matter if we were doing CrossFit, not CrossFit. It just depends on where your vision is in aligning that. So I think that's the key is like to your point about the golf, I think the issue becomes it sounds like a space you'll eventually outgrow. So you'll have to move. But okay, it's got one little blemish on it. And that just adjusts my expectation for rent. Because to your point, if it's like, hey, he wants 3K a month, even now you're like, ooh, this is tough. And we could talk about it as like a ramp up here. Like maybe it takes time. In fact, and just to go back to the opportunity cost thing, because I also don't want to brush over that. There's another client of ours on, right, that they lost a lot of business in basically around the holidays, just after, like in January, about 60K worth of business by a client basically saying, hey, we're gonna pause, right? And they were a home client, a lot of stuff going at home, where ultimately what was going on was they were nervous. They were like, hey, like, this is one of those things that could potentially not destroy my business, but in theory, like, it's one of those things where they were definitely nervous. They were like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to replace this. But by not having going on the road and sending out some emails, some marketing stuff, some stuff we had coached her on, she basically replenished that business very quickly, almost overnight, to a point where I was like, holy shit. And here's the kicker. She's like, I'm going to be fine. And she's like, and now I'm not traveling as far as I need to go. And it was like, exactly. And so it's one of those scenarios where it's like, oh, maybe it's just more nerve-wracking. But now what happens is, now here's what's happened. Now, say that client comes back and says, hey, we don't want to pause again. Well, now you have to make a decision as to how you want to go. So, your point about like, I'm doing home care for 3 to 4 years while I'm doing this and transitioning, a lot of times the opportunity cost is in the driving, right? You're losing. If I can double my output by having $800 of a switch, no
Well, and
brainer.
that's
You see what
so,
I'm
and
saying?
that's the math I did, and that's where I think I want to kind of
Yes.
finish this on is that right now I am what I would say, let's say 20 visits, give or take, right? Because there's some weeks you're busy or some weeks not, but let's say 20 would be like slammed. Kind of slammed for the week, right? And 20, probably 5 would be really insane. But 20, if I could average like 17 to 20 visits, I am in that space where we talk about a lot, where you're either raising prices or hiring somebody or
Yes.
making some move, right? And I did the math for this year, I'll probably be somewhere around 14. So I'm not at like full capacity mobile right now. But I said, okay, well, what if I go to the space and then I do maybe 45-minute appointments for 150 instead of an hour for 175? And then I can do, and then, you do the math like, okay, if I did a 8 o'clock and then an 8:45 here, and then I drove at 9:30 and blah, blah, blah. Basically a hybrid between taking insurance. Or sorry, not taking insurance. between not ready for that mountain yet. Between home care and in the gym. And I did like rough math. I was conservative, but I was like, okay, what if I'm really busy with this sort of like in the gym, then drive around, and then in the gym to finish the day model? And it was like $300,000 I could make in revenue. Whereas if I did like capped mobile at my current price, it would be like 180.
Yeah.
Right. And then I would have to, I think I did the math on, I would have to do 300 an hour to make that. Right. And that not, it's not undoable. There's people I know that are charging, 350 an hour. But
Yeah.
is that the way I want to go? Like, that's where I have to go to get to the same level as if I have the time save and the opportunity cost of this gym. And then I even did the math on like, what if it's just all gym and it's all cash in the gym? And it was like 450, 500,000. It was some number that there you'd have to be charging like $500 a session to do,
Yeah.
right? So, and very few people I know can do that through multiple people, like one or two clients, yes, but they cannot do that as a sustainable business.
Exactly.
So.
So when you think about that concept, what Owen just talked about. So at the beginning of this podcast, you asked me, Brian, am I looking for like a 1 to 2, 1 to 3, 1 to 4? Let's break down what that's. This is the way I evaluate it. So essentially, what Owen just said is for $1,000 a month, right? That's $12,000 for the year. The difference will be he could has the capacity to jump to 300K versus 180, and that is $120,000 difference. So for $120,000 versus $1,000 a month,
Yeah,
it's a one to ten.
it's a 1 to 10
You see what I'm
return.
saying?
Yeah, and
So the reality,
that's if I'm still
yeah,
half home care,
yes,
right? That's if
exactly.
I only do like four
Yes.
visits a
Now
day in the gym.
you're hustling, you're working, but
I
that's
was gonna say my
exactly where the
marketing
math
has to catch
starts.
way up to get
Yeah,
that number, but
yes,
yeah.
exactly. There's a lot of this is the interesting part that I think a lot of physical therapists listening to that I think is happening, and we made some posts on this in the whitewashing aspect. The reality is Owen's expenses are only beginning to skyrocket. So the other
Yeah.
part of it is there's other things that have to do to hit that number.
I
But
got
the
to do way more
reality of
marketing, yeah.
marketing's got to go up. There's going to be it's not just going to all of a sudden turn overnight this 300K, right? Like, by the way, don't ever think that that sublet guy who's now seeing you doesn't say, I'm doing some quick math here. Maybe we should make it $2,000 a month. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, so protect yourself, because I had that happen multiple times. Nightmare scenario I had where my rent tripled. I was like, you know what? Fine. We'll keep it at 3,500 or whatever it was. And then as the gym was going under in COVID, they were like, we're gonna lock the doors if you don't keep paying. And now I'm out a bunch of money. Because I was like, you know, it was bullshit, but it's the reality of what happened. So, because now you're stuck. So you just gotta also evaluate in a sublet situation the things that can go wrong too. People don't think about this when starting businesses. They just think, oh, it's hunky dory, everything will go perfectly. But in this scenario, I would definitely tell Owen to go for it and build it just on the way you build it and continue to build the systems. But for most people, you eventually want to get your own standalone place. It just it's a lot. It's a lot more convenient in a lot of different ways. This is a stepping stone, in my opinion, for
Well,
most
and
people.
that's it.
But
And that, and
look at it accordingly.
I may look at it like that, and then I may even just say, okay, after a year, I'll give me the first right to be able to do a longer lease, right? So that way I'm not locked in. I'm locked in for the year, right? That's fair, right? He's going through the annoyance of doing all this. But then the last thing I want is me to be, him doing that back of the napkin math. Like I want a longer term thing then, if that's the case.
For
So,
sure.
so lots of things to think about. This is the real world stuff that, we
We get
deal with on a
into.
day-to-day basis. And this is why it's really nice to have two of us on the
Yes.
podcast.
By the way, and honestly, you know, this is what we do at Physio Growth, and our mentorship group is stuff like this. We want to show you kind of examples of it, and again, real life stuff that we've gone through. And yes, we charge $100 a month. Could we charge probably 10x that? Totally. But we want to keep it open, and people ask us questions all the time, and I want to say, hey, just jump in our group and ask us the questions in school, blah, blah, blah. It's such an easy thing for us to do and build while we're building our businesses. So physio-growth.com. Guys, seriously, check it out. I mean, the call that I did with Jerry Durham yesterday, I was telling Owen, I was like, that call alone, if you listen to that podcast that's coming, people should make 5K just off that podcast. You should be able to afford our mentorship group for the next 4 years, just listen to that podcast. So we're trying to just give away lots of value and help any way we can in you know, whether you're working for somebody, like I said, I try and help give my guys side hustles and all the different things they can do, whether you're trying to start your own thing, et cetera. It's a great opportunity to help.
All right, man, open that door behind you and let the music flow in. I
Let's
want to
do it.
hear early 2000s rap out of you.
I love it. Sounds good.
All right, see you,
All right,
bud.
see ya.